Let's do it.
We are the EV Cafe and we are at the Commercial Vehicle Show because we are on the road to net zero. Let's see what's happening. Let's go for a spin. Oh, in the village today, we have RightCharge, PLP, Spirii, Field Dynamics, Plug Me In, Iveco, Webfleet, Vital EV, Drax, Munro, Compleo, Power,
and Europcar.
It's packed down there. Maybe you try it.
We're at the CV Show 2024, so the EV Cafe brings together as many people as possible from the B2B community to just spread that message that accelerating to net zero isn't as hard as it looks when you go EV.
We all recognise that the only way any of our businesses are going to succeed is if we collaborate, if we work together, if we have fun doing it. It's a really great vibe.
We've come to the Commercial Vehicle Show because the commercial sector is probably the most important thing for us.
Nice to see it today in the car parks being back to full and getting some footfall on our stand as well.
Well, my personal highlight is seeing exciting vehicles like the Munro truck, which is right next to the Vital EV stand.
Who would I like to see driving the vehicle? Probably someone like King Charles around the Balmoral estate. That would be really cool.
Built this van especially for the show, which is behind me, and that's all about showing that you can plug equipment into the vehicle and run tools and equipment, televisions, charge mobile phones.
It's great to see, you know, what's out there in terms of
cars,
just the amount of energy in the room, the amount of people coming over,
vans,
the latest technology,
commercial fleets,
and telling people about our new product,
people who understand the world of electric and people who don't.
I actually can't believe it. So 3 years ago this was not this big, trust me. Today they're queuing back to the roundabout to get in, and that's a sign of where we are in the industry.
Thank you for joining us at the Commercial Vehicle Show as part of our On Tour in 24 season.
May have coffee?
Yes.
That's a bit, missed it.
Complete mayhem, I loved it. It was great.
Hello everyone and welcome to today's session of the EV Cafe. I'm Johnny Berry, your host and the head of decarbonisation at Nobuna Vehicle Solutions. I'm thrilled to join you live today, not from my usual home office, but from the Amy Fleet and Plant Conference. So apologies in advance if there's a little bit of background noise or people you might see mulling about. But it is particularly exciting to be here as Amy has big ambitions for electrifying their fleet, which ranges from cars and small vans to large trucks and heavy duty equipment. But today we're diving into a very pertinent topic, vans, trucks and EV loving, exploring the electrification of commercial vehicles and the cutting edge innovations driving this change. So joining us from the EV Cafe team, renowned experts in their respective fields, we have Mr. Paul Kirby, aka the Electric Van Man, ready to share his insights later on today on electric vans and their revolutionary impact on commercial fleet operations. Sarah Sloman, distinguished for her expertise in evolving payment technologies that facilitate easier and more effective EV adoption, particularly in commercial fleets. And then finally, we have John Curtis, dedicated to channeling your questions into our discussion, bridging audience curiosity with expert insights. We are also delighted to welcome Keith and Mike as our guest speakers from Iveco and Europcar a bit later on, and their vast experience in the commercial vehicle sector promises to enrich our conversation with invaluable perspectives. But before we proceed, I would like to express our heartfelt thank you to our gold sponsors. They are the AA, Europcar, Iveco, Heythrough, Plug Me In, Webfleet, and Zaptec. Did I get them all this time, Paul?
You did.
I just want to say your unwavering support is crucial in sparking these vital conversations around the electric vehicle transition. But you might have noticed that we're missing a certain individual. And so we'll start today with a special update from Sam Clark, who is currently in Stockholm. Sam is unable to join us live as he's testing some of the latest models in battery electric tractor units. But I'd much prefer to see him on a farm in a tractor. It suits it, I think, as well. He sent us a video explaining his delay, or why he's not here with us this morning. John, please roll VT.
Hi everyone, Sam here from the EV Cafe. Sorry I can't be there in person. I'm in Stockholm with the wonderful people at Scania. It's not Scania apparently, it's Scania. Looking at their battery factory and their EHDVs and their charging infrastructure. It's all a bit awesome really. I hope to join you later. Apologies if I don't make it. And in the meantime, please enjoy the show and do enjoy the video later. All about trucks on the road, in the UK.
Now then, if that's Scania, is he Saab?
Let's go.
I'm Sarah. I'm Sarah.
When he does come on, let's address him as Saab, shall we?
Saab.
Saab.
I do hope he turns up because I'd love to know what's going on over there, and particularly with Grid Serve. As always, if you have any questions or would like to contribute, please feel free to stick them in the Q&A tab, and feel free to join us via the Zoom link posted on the EV Cafe LinkedIn page if you aren't already. But let's just say hello to the EV Cafe team, minus Sam. So I'll start with you, John. Hello, John.
Hello, gorgeous.
How's it going? Hopefully there's not too much background noise where I am, because I'm just got lots of people.
You're sounding good, mate. You're sounding good. So I'm going to look after the mailroom today, your questions, and we'll be putting them to our experts. So we've got Keith from Europcar. We have Mike Cutts from Iveco. We have Paul Kirby, the legend of vans, and Sam. So throw your questions into the Q&A box at the bottom of your screen where it says, cunningly, Q&A. And the best question of the day will win an EV Cafe mug. So get your questions fired in as our guests speak, and then we'll pick them up as we go. Thank you kindly and goodbye.
Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. And John, you've been quite busy recently, and I've noticed you've got a lot of events planned. So you're doing the Webfleet conference and something called Good Serve and stuff like that. You're probably getting a lot of feedback. And what would you say are the major concerns the audience has about transitioning to their electric fleets? And how can these be addressed by industry leaders?
I think there are four big areas. One is the upfront costs, the completely different mindset that's necessary for a business to be able to pay upfront for a more expensive, in inverted commas, vehicle, but will pay back over time through less running costs and cost of energy and so on. So I think just changing the mindset, understanding TCO, there's this perception that there's limited charging infrastructure. And for commercial fleets, I think there's an opportunity to look at what is available publicly, what is available through your depot charging, what does that cost? Are there additional DNO or network connections that are necessary? And so thinking and planning ahead is really important. There are people still talking about range and operational differences and a lack of specific models to deal with specialist journeys. And the event you mentioned, the Webfleet event, is absolutely key in this. Decarbonising fleets is a day on June the 3rd. So between 1:30 and 3:00, you can join online a panel of guests, including the aforementioned Sam Clark, where we look at some of the specifics around this. And I'm just about to post, if I may, a link to register. So that's just gone into the chat, a link to register for that webinar. I'm hosting the day. There'll be a Q&A session, which will be like question time, where we'll have about 50 different fleet managers in an audience at Webfleet in Warwick. And then we'll pose those questions to the panel, and we'll pose your questions too. So if you want to come along, join and start your journey or progress your transition to electric vehicles, join that webinar on the 3rd of June, 1:30 to 3:00 with Webfleet and guests, and we'll see if we can get some answers to the questions.
Sounds excellent. Paul, you're not at my conference. You don't seem to be at home. Where are you?
I can show you, actually. It's always better to show you because I have portable Wi-Fi. I'm at the AFP conference. The AFP conference has already had the plan for vans announced at the beginning of it by Catherine Bowen, which is great. And there's Gavin. Say hello, Gavin. There you go. Stuart Sides, everybody. Right, Charles. There's all kinds of people here displaying their fleet wares. And also in right down there, in the end there is a lot of people talking all about the challenges that that we face as fleets to transition. Because we talk about the EV transition often in the EV bubble. And it's really important to kind of get outside the EV bubble, isn't it? And understand. And I was talking to one guy this morning. I said, how are you getting on? And what's the biggest challenge for you with your transition to electric vans? And he said, "My customers." And and there was a reason for that, which I can't go into on air. But there are so many, a myriad of different challenges that we're having to face in this transition. And the AFP conference really kind of helps bring a lot of fleet managers together, a lot of thought leaders together, including our partner Allstar. Got a little thing that we did with Allstar today, Ms. Saz and I. That was a lot of fun. But it's a great place to bring, much like probably your conference there at AMI, just kind of, you know, bringing great minds into the room and beginning to share the challenges, break down some of the myths, but deal with some of the real world challenges that many, many people are facing. So it's a great day to kind of get all of that.
I know Sarah's also at the AFP. John, you want to
snowbo? I've hidden myself away in a rather large meeting room, so I feel a bit all by myself. But it's standing room only in the AFP hall today. As we left to start this webinar, they were just finishing off a sort of fleet workshop to really put each other in one another's shoes, right from the MD through to the driver, and just have that end-to-end stakeholder engagement really clear in people's minds as you transition.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sarah. Well, I'm going to go back to you. I have a question for you, if you don't mind. Twofold. One, because Sam's not here, it's something he hates, micromobility. And two, because I need to create some shorts on the back of this for YouTube.
Okay, right.
Right, everyone be really sensible.
Yes, yes, you're all going to be on shorts. But the challenge is, Paul, you've got 30 seconds to answer it, okay? Because I can't go any more than 30 seconds on a shorts. That's the challenge.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So, Paul Kirby, with urban areas increasingly congested, electric vans and micromobility solutions are becoming more critical. What are the key features of the latest models that can make them ideal for urban logistics?
Gosh, the challenge of urban logistics is many and varied, which is why many and varied vehicles really fit the bill. So we've got cargo bikes that really work well in the urban area. They can do the bike lanes. We've got the little MEV, the My Electric Vehicle, small electric vans, you know, that are actually doing a really good job getting long range out of that. And you've got the traditional vans where nothing else but a van would do. And that is great for last mile delivery, getting out and about. And even some of the big vans, like where there's work required, it's all there, from the really tiny to the big huge.
But brilliant, Paul, thank you. Sarah, I want to do the same for you, if you don't mind.
Oh no, okay.
You gotta do it shorter though. I need 20 seconds this time.
Was that okay? Oh, hang on, how long was mine?
It's my turn, come on.
Yes.
Shut up, Paul.
Sarah Sloman, as the EV market expands, how are charging payment technologies evolving to meet the future needs of commercial fleet drivers?
It's super important that we take the full ecosystem, including the payments, into account when we're thinking of our procurement for our services, not just the hardware, but the software as well. And remember, good software can unlock all the capabilities of the hardware.
Brilliant.
Right, can I win? Now.
Win? If it was a competition, I'd have tried.
Always, always.
We'll see. We'll report back later who gets the most views. John, you're next time we do a webinar. But John, I understand that obviously Iveco are a significant player in the commercial vehicle space. And we have a video to share, don't we? I hope so.
Yeah, so we built this van especially for the show, and it's really helped to design and promote awareness about the onboard power that the eDaily can offer customers. So our model year 24 eDaily has just been launched, and as part of that, we've released our 50 kilowatt EPTO on the van, which is class leading by a mile. Our competitors are nowhere near that level of onboard power that you can take off a vehicle. The best way for us to demonstrate that is to build our mobile power station, which is behind me, and that's all about showing that you can plug equipment into the vehicle and run tools and equipment, televisions, charge mobile phones. You know, we're using less than 2.5 kilowatts of power off the traction batteries. We can offer up to 50 kilowatts in both electrical and mechanical, which means that we can fit a pump and a rotational drive to that. So for customers that need to do weird and wonderful things with their vans, convert them into fire engines, aerial platforms, waste compactors, road sweepers, whatever it is that they need the vehicle to drive certain equipment for, the eDaily is well up to the job. I think a lot of it's about awareness. And look, the industry to a certain extent has been held back by they want to make the leap, but the van's not been there to do the specific job for them. And it's taken a little while for the technology to kind of come to a point where people can make that transition across from diesel to electric without a compromise. And that's what eDaily is all about. You know, you've got 3.5 ton towing capacity on an eDaily. You've got 3.5 ton towing capacity on a diesel daily. You've got onboard power options on a diesel van. You've got onboard power on an electric. Choice of batteries, which gives you a choice of payload and a choice of range. So the options available for the customer now means that there's no reasons why they've got any barriers to making that leap across. So we're starting to see it now, especially with fleet customers, that they're making that transition because there's a vehicle that's fit for purpose to be able to do that job.
Brilliant. Very good. We'll hear more from Mike a little bit later on. But before then, we must go to our first guest speaker. And because Sam isn't here yet, Sarah, would you like to do the honours of introducing our first guest speaker?
Yes, and I believe it to be, she checks the agenda immediately, Keith Jordan from Eurocard, thank you. Okay, so hi Keith, nice to see you again, even though it's not in person today, and thank you for sending Sam your script, which I will now read. Keith Jordan. Keith is the van and truck director for the UK at Eurocard and reports into both the UK board and directly into the Europe-wide van and truck business unit. That affords him good insight into how all the European and Nordic countries are transitioning to sustainable vans. Everything to do with vans is his homepage, including the bottom line P&L, profit and loss acronym, please. Fun fact, this is always my favourite part of it. Fun fact, he has just completed building a 4-bedroom off-grid eco house in Poland, which took 10 years of giving up the majority of its annual leave. That is highly commendable, and I hope we can come on to that later. Talk about walking the walk. Well done.
Thank you. So for today, our caption really is, when is the right time to move? Obviously, everyone on the panel is going to say it's right now. And arguably it is, and I'll try to put that argument forwards. I'll concentrate on B2B today. Our B2C EV vans are going very well in 5 major conurbations where they're running with Kaz and Ute as zones. So that bit's sort of taking care of itself, which is really nice. So the B2B is our next focus and our current focus. So when we're dealing with the fleet managers and we were talking earlier about feedback, it's the usual plate splits, the plate spinning that goes on, the replacement cycle. It's that potential change of UK government again at the end of the year, which has given a little bit of uncertainty around whether we re-accelerate the ZEV mandate, etc. And on top of that, there's a fear of lost man hours. So it's not always the actual vehicle. We have vehicles in the marketplaces we've just seen that can do everything that a nice vehicle could do now. It's timing. And the timing is the business has been able to focus on where their transport policy is moving when they're still doing the day-to-day. So we kind of landed as an industry in a place where the onus now falls on us. It falls on us to be the conduit for the businesses to help that transition. The OEMs have caught up with product in the main, and there's still some exciting innovations, as you guys always show, and we've seen at the CV show. But we are the conduit to make that transition easier. The concerns around daily operation, whether that's payload, range, charging, etc., are going to be there. And we found the only real way to allay those is to get our businesses into vehicles. We're not talking about a 1-hour trial from an OEM. We're talking about coming to us and getting us a bum on a seat in an EV van. Try it for 10 days, try it for 2 weeks, see how it fits in your operation, move it around your operation. There is a place. We're not saying do everything in one go. We're not advanced. We understand that as we move towards the deadline, that the ranges are improving and the vehicles are improving, but there's things you can do right now. But you can do it right now with Eurocar without commitment. And I think that's the key. You're not selling yourself with rapidly changing technology. You're not committed to the vehicle for the next 3, 4, 5 years. You're committed for one day. You can be committed for 1 year. You can be committed for 2 years. But it helps you stay fresh and knowing that you'll be part of that next wave and that transition as a business. So in there, I think there's an argument to discuss with the CFOs of businesses as well about their their planning and their future, because the life cycle changes are going to be different on an EV than they are on ICE. We're already seeing that. People won't commit for that long term to a long term vehicle. And just touching on that bit, in the Nordics, we're already transitioning our vehicles there for the first cycle after nearly 5 years on EV vans. And again, in the UK now, after the first 2 years, we're now transitioning some of our green fleet out as well as bringing in new. So I think that with what's going there, just taking those concerns away is the main thing. So that brings on winning hearts and minds. The van is just a tool. It's not an emotional purchase like a car. We don't get hung up on it's got metallic silver paint and cream leather interior, or it's got. But what it does need to do is needs to do a job. And we found by putting the drivers on the seats, the feedback from the bottom up is really positive. This is their office. This is their mobile office for the day. They're sitting in there. They're sitting in there all day long. It's quiet. It's smooth. As long as the van is fit for the purpose the company's given them for, that really aids the story from the bottom back up, and it takes away the fears. So come to us, helped us. We can, the companies that have come, helps to spread the word. It helps to shape their transport policy going forwards. And like with anything, trial and test. We're used to that now. My wife now goes through 7 match pots when we decorate the lounge before she chooses the final shade of white. It's much the same thing. Trial and test. Make sure it is fit for purpose. As I said, we're not advocating everything, but we are in a position now as an industry where a percentage of your business can easily step across, and we're now focusing on that next percentage. So alongside that, the last thing for myself is that we don't just walk the talk. We have our super sites that run our 4,500 EV green fleet. So that's plug-in and pure BEV. So these guys in our stations are used to handling these vehicles. They can allay all your questions. We have our online EV guide that also has a Zap Map tool. So it takes away that fear of charging. And we've got the experts in terms of EV experts as a department, as you guys have known and met, but also on the ground. We have that expertise to make for a smooth transition. So that's really for myself, apart from some Q&As.
Yeah.
Great job.
That's great, Keith. Hello, Sam.
Hi.
Hey, farm boy. How's it going?
Farm. Yeah.
Got some catching up to do on the chat, Sam.
I've been listening in.
Oh, have you?
Yes, I have, Johnny. Yes, I have.
We'll come back to you later. We'd love to know what's going on over in Scania, Sam. So anyway, Sam, Sarah, you have a question, don't you?
I did, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Keith. I do always so enjoy hearing the benefits of hiring over buying and long-term leasing. But we shared a panel session at the CV show this year, and we talked about how we can get people really behind the van plan as it's now been thoroughly launched. Have you had chance to disseminate that to any of your customers? What sort of feedback are you hearing about the van plan and how you guys can help?
Initially, I think this is where sessions like this help, Sarah, and reaching a wider audience. We're still quite in a little bubble sometimes, and I know that Paul alluded to that earlier in terms of getting outside of that EV bubble, and I'm not sure the message is landed with the general SME population yet in terms of what it means for them and how we can assist with government transitions, and it all gets a little bit bogged down in techno-speak. So for us, I think the customer just wants to be able to know that he can take a commercial vehicle that he can fit in a charging bay, that he can do it with a trailer on the back, that he can, if you know, in terms of the Iveco capability of towing. There's things here where it's getting that message clear and simple out into the wider audience. So, yes, we'll discuss it when we meet with our customers, but I'm not sure there is that awareness, because we are all so aware. I'm not sure that message is really quite landed at the different levels of fleet managers. And often in those SMEs, there's not a fleet manager. Often the fleet is taken care of by us and the accounts, or even HR. It's very spread around. So, or procurement particularly looking after it. So they're not necessarily following what the industry is doing. They're waiting for the advice, and that's where we can step in and help.
Thank you. Thank you for your insights. That's really interesting.
And Keith, I think it is really good that you've highlighted the small to medium enterprise SME. Smaller businesses don't have those people within them that are knowledgeable about fleet. And actually, genuinely, in some of the larger fleets, the fleet managers are not knowledgeable about this transition because the day job, it's not a criticism against them, is the day job is so challenging. Safety, telematics, fuel in general, you know, maintenance, and so many different things that they've got to do. Otherwise, they're out of a job because they're not... But, it's being able to look at the future. It's really key, and this gives that opportunity.
Yeah, Paul, I think that although we're van people, you and I, you're through our blood, it's the cars have actually helped. Having the MD and the FD transition into an EV car 4 years ago because it was a great tax break, this actually means there's a couple of workplace chargers already. It also means they understand range, they understand everything about an EV. So if you can get to that level, you can often allay the fears of a fleet manager because they're actually doing it in their daily life anyway.
Really good point.
Thank you, Keith. Great insights. We'll come back to you for questions a little bit later on, but for now it's time to welcome our next guest speaker. And seeing that Sam is back, he can go back to introducing our guest speakers. So over to you, Sam.
I can, but before I do, have to say, because I was listening, I'm delighted that Sarah wasn't sure which guest was next on the agenda, and it's not just
It's tough because it could have changed, so I thought I'd just check.
Anyway, yes, so Mr. Cutts is next. Mike Cutts, who is the business line director for UK and Ireland for Iveco. Is that I'm not pronouncing that right, am I?
Iveco.
Yeah, I've got a lot of pronunciation elements to learn today. Yeah, we'll come back to that, Johnny. Anyway, he is responsible for managing the business line to deliver the company objectives for market share, invoiced units, product specification, and sales and marketing activity in the UK and the Republic of Ireland. So no small challenges there. Fun fact, Mike ran the London Marathon twice and cycled from London to Paris last year with TransAid. So well done. Fit as a fiddle, sharp as a tack, and can tow anything. There is Scott. Welcome, Mike. Welcome to the show.
One introduction.
Yeah, I just made that up on the fly as well, so I'm glad I got away with it.
I didn't do that. The two marathons and the cycle all at the same time. There was a gap between.
That's next year's plan.
Maybe not. Hi, guys.
Welcome, Mike. Well,
over to you now, Mike. Just give us the punchy stuff about the wonderful Iveco eDaily and how you have made this a vehicle fit for any mission.
No worries. Well, look, I mean, when we look at EV registrations in our sector, in the large van sector for the last 3 or 4 years, it's predominantly all been panel van and mainly for kind of parcel delivery mission because the products on the market have only really been fit for purpose to be able to carry that mission out. With eDaily, we're able to really kind of open the door to expand what operators can do with EV vans of this size now, especially on chassis cab, where eDaily gives operators the ability to convert various bodies on the back, pull power, onboard power off the vehicle to drive equipment that they fit. To tow significantly and offer the payload and the range flexibility that they might need for different missions within the same business. So we're hopefully unlocking the ability for fleets to be able to make that transition from diesel to electric with a product that is fit for purpose and can actually do the job without the compromise. And that's something that we've not really had up until now. So we're really pleased to be able to offer the market that solution in lots of different versions and combinations that means that they can pick a van that's right for them.
Fantastic.
Mike, are you finding that people are buying eDailies? Are they battering your door down? Because yeah, I've driven one fairly recently and I was bowled over by how good it is. And you can do anything that you can do in a diesel daily with an eDaily, why wouldn't you want that thing?
Yeah, I mean, look, the market is still evolving, as we all know. And, you know, the fleet sector, I'd say, is leading the way at the moment because they've got their own CSR objectives and commitments towards net zero. And they really want to make the move. And we see the big commitments coming now. We recently announced Tesco purchasing 150 e-dailies to put on their fleet this year for their dot-com home delivery business. UPS will also be taking a significant volume of e-dailies this year as well for the UK market. So we're seeing some very significant large fleet orders, but also some of the smaller companies as well. I mean, we've got a toilet hire company that are transitioning from diesel to electric. So literally from the large fleets to the small companies, they're all looking at the product and seeing what it can do for them. Not to mention the kind of the municipal and council sector, where again, massive green agenda, certain percentage of every public sector tender these days needs to be electric. They want to run cage tippers, they want to run drop sides, they want to run welfare vehicles. The choice is there for them to do that now. So, you know, it's not just one sector that we're kind of getting the inquiries from, but from a real wide, diverse selection of customers.
I think that shouldn't be underestimated, Mike, that what you've done in bringing the e-daily to market with all of the various options, like the welfare option, you know, we couldn't really do that simply before because of the, you know, the ability to not take the power off, or no ability to take the power off. But you can now do that. You can even put a toilet in the back. It triggered me when you were saying the toilet, but you can actually put a toilet in the back of an Iveco e-daily and many others actually. But this, with the power that you can take it off, it just makes it so much easier and a really good option.
Yeah, look, I mean, 50 kilowatts is a huge amount of onboard power that you can take off the vehicle. Knowing that 2.5 kilowatts is what's available out in the market from our competitors at the moment, you can see the leaps and strides that we've made with our technology to be able to offer customers pretty much as enough power to run whatever they need to run, and convert that into mechanical, rotational driven pumps to run things that need movement, as well as just electrical power. So the flexibility is there now, and it really kind of opens the bodybuilder world up to electric, which maybe they were restricted to what they could create out of an EV in the past.
Bodybuilder world. I've just got visualizations of Hulk Hogan lifting one up on your next PR campaign. Amazing. Well, speaking of which, you guys did do what I think was the best video to come out of the EV rally where John, you hosted it. But it was fascinating to see it doing the towing. And speaking of which, where can people come and see this phenomenal vehicle? I know that you're at Everything Electric, also CV Show. What's next?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're supporting the EV Cafe Village throughout the year. So we'll be bringing our mobile power station van to all those events. We're just embarking on our local dealer launch event. So all of our dealers across the country are now running their own e-daily launch activities where you'll be able to come along, test drive the vehicle, find out more about it, and the Guinness World Record van behind me will be on tour, so keep an eye out for it. It was at Guest's truck and van in the Midlands literally just yesterday on one of those launch events. So we're getting out and about now and getting the product into people, which is great.
Well, the only Guinness World Record thing that's on this call at the moment, is it? So
oh, John's got his hand up, look, and now he's sad.
Sorry, John.
Go on, go to John.
There were two things I wanted to say. My mind has gone off with this lavatory hire thing. And so my business would be called John's Johns. And the tagline would be, we get shit done. Anyway, moving on.
Nothing for a short, John. You're nailing it today.
Raymond Lucas has a question for you, Mike. He says, what's the price difference between diesel and electric? And of course, that's the immediate question people want to ask. You know, and it's that upfront cost thing I was talking about right at the beginning of the show, because it costs less over the life of the vehicle. But can you hit us with a number?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you look at purely just the upfront purchase price, you're looking at nearly double the price electric versus a diesel. Now, you've obviously got the plug-in van grant, which can help. 5K off a 3.5 and 4.25 ton. 16K off a 7.2 ton e-daily. So that can help. Obviously, a lot of customers are looking to take the vehicle on funding rather than purchase outright. Potentially on an op lease to protect the risk of the residual value. Although the one good thing with the eDaily is that it's future-proofed in the fact that the batteries are modular and can be changed. So you're not locked into that choice of vehicle forever, which really does help with our residual value. But yeah, you can't look at it just with regards to the upfront price, because if you did, it's a really difficult thing to justify. But when you look at the full TCO and the savings on R&M, the savings in the overall running costs, safety and improvements in driver performance and health, then actually TCO wise over 5-6 years, it works. But you can't just look at it as in what it costs to buy up front.
Exactly. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. I have a question, more of a scenario for you, Mike. So say we live in like alternative universe, right? And I am a fleet manager, a mega fleet, and I make an inquiry to Iveco for 1,000 diesel dailies. What do you do? Are you going to turn around and go, what do you do?
I'm going to tell you, how much do you want to pay?
Or are you going to say, no, but you've got to take your allocation of electric vehicles? Or are you going to have a conversation about, are you sure diesel's right for you? Can we have a conversation about electric? Because I'm a fleet manager, knows nothing about electric.
Look, for this year, at the moment, we're not mandating any mix of diesel versus electric on our customers. I know other manufacturers are taking a different approach. As the ZEV mandate targets get tougher, we are obviously going to have to consider doing that, because we need to balance, and without, there's a huge fine to pay. But at the moment, you know, with the fleet customers that we have, and because we're traditionally a B2B brand, a lot of our target customers are the ones that are going electric first anyway. We're able to deliver our ZEV targets through our fleet relationships and our fleet customers, meaning that we don't have to force those customers that are not ready for electric into electric when they don't want them. As things move on, as the infrastructure gets better, as the prices come down, as availability improves, hopefully the market demand will be there for us to not have to force customers to take something they don't want, but actually they're ready for it. And hopefully the two will meet in the middle and we'll both be happy.
That's great. Thank you, Mike.
Great answer. I think it highlights a very difficult challenge for the industry, I think, and one I'm sure we're going to talk about more and more over the coming months.
Yeah, and I've dealt with your team, Mike, in the past. They're very knowledgeable in your eDaily product and the EV space, and so I'm confident that they're having the right conversations with fleet managers and those that they've made contact with. So thanks for that, Mike. It is. We'll come back to you and Keith a bit later on for a Q&A round hosted by John. But for now, we're actually going to go to our very own Paul and Sam for their sort of update in this space. So who wants to go first?
Do I get to give the intro? Not that
we. Oh, are we doing intros? Do we need to do intros? But you got one there.
It could be could be total carnage, but we should really.
Well, it's got to be a good short, right, Johnny? There you go.
yes. You're thinking the pressure. Right lines, Paul. You're thinking the right lines. Thank you.
Okay, ready? I'm going to do it as a double act for you, off the cuff. Ready? It's going to be excellent. Not. Right, our next pair of guests were handpicked. We have Paul the Van Geek Kirby, our very own from EV Cafe and also EV Essentials, and the one and only Sam Clark, whose day job is being GridServ extraordinaire, but also historically award-winning for his efforts to decarbonize our transport sector. And together, they're going to fight it out, punch it through, and see the benefits of EHGVs and vans as we take over this commercial fleet webinar. Over to you.
Well, I think for once, Sam and I are not going to fight. I think
for
we're
once,
going to
yeah, I think that's why we paired you together.
As long as I don't mention cargo bikes in my bit, we'll be fine.
Yeah, well, he did that before he joined.
I'm not even going to rise to the comment you said earlier when I was listening in either. I think we'll save that for another day.
I can't even remember what I said. No.
There's a poll coming.
Oh gosh, give up the poll. Anyway, so well, I mean, let me kick off, because I think it's really important that, you know, we recognize this journey is car, van, truck, and it is in that order in terms of volume, and I don't think there's any disagreement there. The van sector has proven very difficult to transition, much more difficult than people thought. People just assumed that it would be okay once cars were done. Certainly government have come to market with that attitude. And I think we've harped on a little bit about awareness and fleet managers that are unaware. And what I find as I'm going around in terms of giving talks and doing workshops with customers and talking to some of the companies that are involved in the fleet transitions, the lease companies, the rental companies, and the dealer groups, what I'm finding is that the people supporting the transition don't know enough. So there's a lot of misinformation. There's not enough information. The product information is out there. But when I got taught sales, it was always feature, advantage, and benefit. What does it do for you? So we're talking a lot about features. It'll go this far. It'll charge this fast. It will carry this much. All of those things are really, really important when you're coming to make a decision about an electric van. But the reality is what you've got to also talk about is what does that do for you? And how does it benefit your company? And the benefits to the company are often far wider than just the product itself, because the product will do what many of the other vehicles will already do. So why change? Well, because there are ESG targets, there are CSR targets. And before the acronym please come out, it's the environment, social and governance, and it's the corporate social and responsibility. These elements to tenders and to operating in our market are changing dramatically. So product is almost second place. It's can I meet the need of this tender? And then can I deliver it with a vehicle that will do the job? And what we've got to really understand is, you know, what the vehicles actually will do, not the 200 miles necessarily on the price tag, but more the 140 to 160 that we might get in real world with range in the cold, because we've got to work our worst case scenarios. Because if a vehicle is not fit for purpose, it is fit for nothing. And the big challenge is with the electric van is the productivity. Vehicles are worth hundreds, if not thousands of pounds per day to the business owners. And we've got to make sure that every moment is maximized. And charging in terms of its infrastructure, both publicly and privately, and anybody that knows me knows I'm not a fan of public charging in vans unless it can be done in a very controlled and organized way, booking, possibly sharing infrastructure. But, you know, own your own power. Get the right vehicle that is fit for purpose. And there's many people in dealerships and myself and others that can help on that. And then make sure you've got your charging infrastructure nailed so that you can go to work without fear of losing productivity. And that, for me, is the van market in a nutshell of what the challenges are, what the options are. And I haven't covered any brand particularly, but I'm happy to answer questions on that. And also where we're going in terms of the drivers and the mechanisms that are making us make the change.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Over to Sam now to talk about trucks.
Who may have frozen.
He's maybe frozen.
Yeah, even though it's very sunny.
It's a very wistful picture that we've got of Sam, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Oh, he's back.
There he is. He's back.
Before you start, Sam, I know that apologies if there's background noise. A large influx of people just left this conference. So
it's okay, Johnny.
Good. I know we spoke about cargo bikes at our partners' day. We spoke about the webinar, but let's just put it to right. So I'm going to start a poll whilst you talk, Sam. I just want the audience's opinion on the matter. Yeah. That's all. So over to you.
Yeah, I know what the answer to that poll will be, Johnny, but it's yeah. We'll talk about that another day. Thank you, Paul, for your comments. I think it's really interesting. Public charging is an absolute requirement. I think you often say in the cargo cycle space, actually, there's no silver bullet. There's a buckshot, I think, is one of your lines. Not sure I'm necessarily approve of the scattergun approach, but I take your point that we do need more than one option for things. And similarly, in the public sector, public environment vans, you know, we're seeing a much, much greater increase in commercial vehicles on our public network now than we ever did. So it's a growing sector that we can't ignore. As far as trucks are concerned, I've had just the most incredible week, frankly. It's been I'm a proponent of whilst there's a time and a place for talking about doing stuff, the most important thing is doing stuff and talking about it. And this week has really been one of those weeks, putting electric heavy goods vehicles on the road in the UK. courtesy of the Electric Freightway project is a really proud moment. You know, we've got AF Blakemore running trucks every single day, fully electric now, and have been for a number of days, and will continue for a number of months and years to come. And that's amazing just to see that happening, and that making a material difference of real world stuff happening, you know, is really, really great. And then I'm blessed also to be in Stockholm today at the Sustainable Transport Forum hosted by Scania. That's how you pronounce it. Morning. But similarly, I've been on their track day all day this morning, driving a number of different electric and diesel trucks, actually, as a comparator, which has been just such a privilege to be able to drive around in 40, 44 ton trucks on a race, on a, not racetrack, on a track that I otherwise wouldn't have the licenses to do. And it just goes to show to me really how much the market has moved on and how much this infrastructure works. And so too do the vehicles. I've also been at the battery facility today and understand all about how the modules are made and how they're glued together and why they're glued together, and what foam and stuff goes between them in order to protect them from swelling. And then why they've got these little explosion fuses around them. So if there is any overheating or any fire, it cuts them off and splits all the power down so that it cannot catch fire. You know, there's all this sort of stuff that I've now learned in the last 6 hours. I didn't know about how these sort of composable items are fundamentally put together to make a viable solution. So it's, you know, whether it be a car, a van, or truck, it's a fascinating market, and the advancements are just exponential in all facets, whether that be charging speeds or ranges, etc. So yeah, I'm buoyed by this week, and you can probably tell by the unbelievably glorious weather behind me and the venue that I'm at that it's been a good week, being able to actually do stuff and see stuff on the road and actually things moving, literally moving. It is just wonderful, and I just hope we do more of that over the next coming years. But I'm really optimistic this week. It's not all sunshine and roses. You know, we've seen in the news today that Volta have gone back into administration, probably for the last time. That's very sad, and it just goes to show how difficult it is for the OEM startups to be able to get into the market. Tesla's a bit of a freak, but that's about the only one that's ever succeeded in doing so. Whereas the established OEMs seem to be, you know, sticking their stakes in the ground and moving forward. So it's a great shame to see that. But at the same time, it's promising that a lot of the large OEMs are really stepping up now with their product offerings in all sectors. And that can only be a good thing in the long term. But yeah, I think that's my thoughts for the day, Johnny.
Thank you very
Paul's
much.
On mute. He did raise his hand, but Paul is actually on mute trying to speak at the same time.
Brilliant.
Good. Sorry, can I just try... Sam, tell us a little bit. We've heard of MCS or megawatt charging systems in terms of trucks. What news? What news? Pray tell.
One of the challenges with charging trucks generally is that the horse has already bolted in a way in terms of. Sorry, there's a big speaker just gone off in my head, which is massively distracting. There's a lot of complexity around CCS and where it's positioned, where the connectors are on the trucks, and they're different size and different positions. And that's created a lot of difficulty with how we're going to configure charging infrastructure in the public domain going forward. There is some light at the end of the tunnel, whilst we'll always have to deal with that legacy. The new standards for what's MCS, which is the next step of charging connectivity, it will enable up to a megawatt of charging. That's 1,000 kilowatts of energy potentially. It'll go up to 4 or 5 megawatts in the fullness of time through the same connector, you know, and 2 or 3 megawatts of energy is the same size as a small to medium sized village just to charge one vehicle. But mercifully, the connector regulations will be on the left hand side, just behind the real wheel arch of the trucks. So we can at least work our modeling around some degree of uniformality. Is that universality? That's the word I was looking for, within that particular element. It's a shame we couldn't do it with all vehicles, frankly, because as we know in the car world, we've got connectors front, right, back, left, all over the place, which is unfortunate. If they're all in the same place, just imagine how much easier and lower cost some of the infrastructure could be. But there we are. But yeah, that's exciting. And within the Electric Freightway project, Paul, as you know, there's a prerequisite for us to deliver 2 megawatt-ready chargers in the next year. And I've got a few designs on where that's going to be. I can't share that yet. But that's exciting. And we're now talking to the hauliers and some of the OEMs about who would like to start running the first megawatt-ready charger and vehicle up and down one of the motorways in the UK. The power is increasing, and the opportunity that creates is great. I mean, even with AF Blakemore's first trucks, they're currently charging on a 43 kilowatt AC charger at depot, which is fine, but that keeps them going for a single shift. Once we install the CCS, the DC charging, they'll start double shifting. And then when it gets the MCS capability and megawatt readiness on the public network, then you'll, you know, the 20 minute, 30 minutes of charging is almost ancillary during your taco break. Or even if it's not your taco break, you can afford 20 minutes here or there to stop, have a quick respirate and charge, much in the same way as the car market is now grazing on the high powered hubs as well. So it's all going in the right direction. It's exciting stuff. There's a lot to do, but it's lovely to see some material changes happening.
Thank you very much, Sam. And I'll be keen to understand Iveco's position in the future on their big, heavier vehicles when it comes to electrification. We've got 10 minutes left. We've got a few questions. So I'd like to welcome Keith and Mike back onto the panel. And then I just want to hand off to John, where, John, if you could just go through the questions in the last 10 minutes, that'd be great.
Sure, yeah. But before we do that, the poll results. So do you think cargo bikes are a viable solution for improving logistics in urban environments? 29% say definitely yes. 61% say probably yes. 11% say probably no. And nobody other than Sam says definitely no.
Well, no, John, I've never said that.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, this is all recorded and people are listening. So it's not that I'm saying no to it. There is no silver bullet, of course. But yeah, commerciality is one element and flavour, which is why I'm very much in the probably camp.
But you're for commerciality in the provider of the bikes.
Oh no.
But not the commerciality of the operation. So like somebody running cargo bikes is actually making money. So there are companies out there that are doing it, making money. I need to check the books for Delivery Mates, but I'm pretty certain that they are making a considerable amount of money doing a lot of work for Amazon. So worth checking.
Yeah. Anyway. Any road up?
Too, but they don't use cargo bikes anymore for a very good reason.
That's the one example.
Right, you
yeah,
two.
They're a big one.
Stop your nonsense.
You guys are going to breakout session.
This is about our guests. Right,
sorry,
okay.
Shut up.
I can help balance that argument. We use e-bikes in the delivery and collection of our vehicles across the UK.
Yeah, that's a different use case. That's a cracking
different use case. Same, it hasn't got the box on the back, but we're using them really successfully in cutting down our carbon emissions.
So, Mike, at some point, Ford will commercialize the Transit with an electric powertrain. Will that overlap with your potential market? Question from Gary Comerford. What do you reckon?
Transit is already electrified with e-Transit. So we already have that in the market. In fact, Ford launched before we did. And we took the decision to delay the launch of our product because we wanted to make sure that when we did bring it to market, it had everything on it that the customers needed. And whilst we're probably a year later to market, we can now offer a superior offer to customers. So I think it's all about your product development and timing to make sure that you optimize the launch with what's available to put on the vehicle in the first place. And that's what we've done. But yeah, obviously e-Transit's out in the market. Competitive in panel van mission, but I think with what eDaily can offer, especially with the size of vehicles that we offer, the gross vehicle weight range and the chassis cab flexibility, it's a very different proposition.
Gary spread his love about a bit, and he's got a question for Keith as well. How do Europcar ensure new drivers are educated? A website won't really do that. And I can speak personally about how Europcar educate people in the handover process for a recent hire that I had was impeccable. And I had two people come and talk to me about how to get the very best out of the vehicle that I rented. So they're incredibly knowledgeable people in your branches, aren't they, Keith?
Yeah. So on that website bit, we tried to pre-educate actually before you've driven or collected the vehicle. And I know, John, you had a great experience with us. So that's what I touched on earlier in our station, or we call them stations, in our sites, in our depots. We have that experience to actually talk through the vehicle, help you set it up, explain the charging, make sure you've got your app loaded and you're ready to go. We give out fobs for charging as well, so it takes away that fear of where you can get a recharge. So it's having that it's walking the walk. You know, we're not new to this. We, I said earlier, 4,500 green fleet. We're doing this day in, day out, whether it's a one-day rental out of an airport or a one-way across the country, or whether it's a long-term use case. But yeah, we've got the expertise in the field, and they're delivering and collecting these vehicles all day long. So the expertise is there.
Brilliant. Thank you. Now, excuse me, John Bentley asked a question, which I think applies to both of you. So I'll pose it to Mike first. Do you expect vehicle replacement cycles to become longer because there's less to go wrong with the vehicle drivetrain? What are your predictions, Mike, in terms of the work that you've done on eDaily?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. I think for two reasons. One, the vehicles will mechanically last longer because there's 80% less moving parts. But also, you're going to need to run the vehicle over a longer period for the depreciation and to get the TCO benefits. So, you know, typically our customers will run a diesel for 3-4 years. Maybe some of the more extreme cases where they've invested a lot on the conversion of the vehicle, they'll run it for 5 years. But on electric, you can add 1 to 2 years additional on the life cycle. And it's why manufacturers are typically offering an 8-year warranty because on the batteries, because ultimately what we expect is the first customer will have it for 5 years, maybe 6. And then the battery warranty has another 2 years left for the second owner to give them confidence of protection to take the vehicle on as a used vehicle. So it's all really set up for that longer life cycle period. And when you talk to CAP and Glasses, they're very much of the same mindset as well, that users will typically run EVs for longer.
And CAP and Glasses, just for those that don't know, are the guides that provide the insight for the pricing of future values and existing values, reporting what vehicles are selling for.
Heath, are we seeing people using Europe Car as a flexibility tool as far as fleets are concerned? So they're running their own vehicles longer, they're keeping hold of traditional diesel internal combustion engine vehicles longer, and then when they start to break down and cause a problem logistically, Europe Car then can provide them with that flexibility to say, I need a vehicle pronto, can you do it for me?
Yeah, and I think this is the ownership usership model. It's the same with your mobile phone. You know, the technology is changing really quick. People don't commit for such a long term. In the Iveco with Mike, yes, if you're going to outright purchase it and make the TCO work over 5 to 7 years, and the vehicle is really designed for that, that's great. For us, it's more about, as you know, with any hire business, it's about having the youngest, most efficient, up-to-date fleet all the time. So, you know, when we go on holiday and you jump in the car like you did, John, it will be something modern that you might not have tried before, etc. Mm-hmm. So so we will turn our vehicle fleet round for EVs every 2 years. Our holding on an EV van is around 2 years. So we'll keep young and refresh. We get the benefit of that advanced residual value, and the next user will have that extended period of time, as Mike alluded to, that they've still got. Then they've got 5 years or more good use out of that vehicle. The other point you raised in terms of people holding ICE, there was obviously post-COVID and war in Ukraine and global politics. A lot of people have already held on those ICE vehicles, a lot of fleet managers, a lot longer than they would. And they're seeing those vehicles break down and the big bills that are coming. So there is this going to be this long-term TCO of an EV, which is different with the less moving parts and the less to go wrong.
Absolutely. Thank you very much indeed. Now, I promised that we'd given an EV Cafe mug to the best question. I've got to say, I actually think I'm going to give it to somebody who's made a statement. And that's Fergus Wilson. In the chat, he's just said, pre-education is vital to the success of EV demos. And he goes on to talk about his own experience. And then there's this beautiful little phrase, hand-holding is key. If you think about it as toddlers, when we learn to walk and we teach our kids and our grandkids, we're going to hold their hand, give them that little bit of support. And soon they'll be walking on their own. They'll be making their own strides. And, you know, as we've seen with Mike, even running marathons. But hand-holding is absolutely key. So, Fergus Wilson, you've won today's EV Cafe mug. If you can get in touch with us, any of us on LinkedIn, find us EV Cafe, search us out, or me, John Curtis, on on LinkedIn, and we'll send out an EV Cafe mug to you. Thank you. You're absolutely right. Hand holding is key. Back to you, JB.
You can also check out our YouTube page. We're stepping up our social media game, and so we'd love for you to be part of our growing community there as well. So any closing remarks from the gang?
Just one from me, if I may. I think, Sam, can we just confirm, because I think it's important, is it Teva that you've seen go into administration or yes, Volta?
Oh, did Teva. I say Teva? My apologies.
No, you said Volta.
You said Volta, but it
and
is
I think
Teva.
Volta are still alive and kicking, and Teva have gone into administration. Oh, that's been reported just 4 hours ago.
Thank you for clarifying.
Johnny spotted it, actually, and I just did double check then, and it's Teva, which is a real shame, actually.
It's brilliant a shame for both, isn't it? It's a shame for both, because both of them are clearly on their knees, which is rude.
So Volta are showing at RTX, they're likely to be others, so there is a bit of hope. There's a bit of forward trajectory. They were at they've got sponsorship or support with Nike. They were in the London Marathon, I think, Mike. You might have seen the Volta van with the Nike sign down the side of it.
I couldn't keep up with it. Sorry.
Those electric vehicles, they don't get along, don't they?
Thank you, Paul. That's all we have time for, 1 minute past one. So thank you, everybody. Thank you especially to you, Mike and Keith, for your insights today. It's been invaluable, and we'll no doubt see you on another webinar shortly. Bye-bye, all.
Thanks, everyone. See ya. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Ta-ta for now.
TTFN. Bye for now.
No more acronyms. Bye.
See ya.
FFS.